Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, former Ebony Fashion Fair model, a lady named Pearl, stops by the Upfront Studios to chat about her new fashion and beauty publication, Pearl. She also weighs in on the controversial Pepsi ad featuring Kylie Jenner that caused a stir this week on social media. Upfront also attended the red carpet premiere of Fate of the Furious, where Christopher Ludacris Bridges dishes about the franchise's enduring legacy. I also chopped it up with Being Mary Jane star Gabrielle Union. And closing out today's show is comedy legend George Wallace. He talks about his role in the new film Grow House. The Atlanta native also opens up about rebranding his career and much more. But first, here's Fonda Smith with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Destination Casting is looking for fair-skinned African-American women between the ages of 25 to 45 years old for a film project. The women also need to be 5'6 only with flats and thin framed. Serious inquiries only and must be available to work on Tuesday, April the 11th through Thursday, April 27th. Please submit your name, age, height, weight, phone number, and 3 current filter-free photos to downsizeextras@gmail.com with female stand-in in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, celebrate Palm Sunday this weekend by tuning in to the biggest night in gospel music. The 32nd Annual Stellar Gospel Music Awards premieres on tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on TV One with encores at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 p.m. Eastern Time. This year's show is hosted by multiple Stellar Awards and Grammy Award-winning solo artists Erica Campbell and Stellar Award-winning songwriter, composer, and producer Anthony Brown. The Stellar Awards is the longest-running gospel music award show recognizing artists, writers, and industry professionals for their contributions to the industry.
Upfront listeners, this is Ray Cornelius urging you to click on the donate button on WCLK.com and make your pledge of support for this show and the countless others you listen to throughout the week. Your contribution will help keep shows like this on the air. That's WCLK.com, where membership matters. My first guest is the true definition of a Renaissance woman. She's a model, actress, singer, songwriter, educator, journalist, and entrepreneur. I'm talking about former Ebony Fashion Fair model, a lady named Pearl. The Atlanta-based phenom is elevating her profile these days through a new magazine appropriately titled Pearl. The quarterly publication focuses on fashion, beauty, and leadership. We caught up with the brown-skinned beauty to chat about her new venture and what readers can expect. Pearl and I also discussed the recent Pepsi commercial that caused an uproar on social media and much more. Well, good morning, Pearl. How are you?
I am wonderful, Ray. How are you?
I am doing just fine. You know, this is always a treat for me when I have people to come into the studio. I know everybody is busy doing this and running here and going there, so it's always an amazing thing for me to have people in the studio. I can look at your faces and we can talk and the chemistry is there. So
yeah.
Thank you for coming into the studio today.
And thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's like when I hear your show, I'm hearing like the next Ryan Seacrest and I'm like, ooh, I'm in front of Ray now. So this is a good omen.
Congratulations on this beautiful magazine that is appropriately titled Pearl.
Yes.
This is a new publication for you.
Absolutely.
That you started
in 2016.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about the magazine and the inspiration behind it.
Absolutely. So Pearl Magazine is focused on 3 core areas: fashion, beauty, and leadership. So when you think of a pearl, so our entire brand is based on a pearl. It's a young lady that is willing to go through various trials to get to her best. So when you open the magazine, there's beauty tips, there's finance tips, there's fitness tips, there are food tips on how to eat healthy. There are articles on women that teach you how to use your mental power to overcome challenges. So my goal in this lifetime is to raise a, I don't want to say army, because that's not the right word to use, but to raise a tribe of pearls. So when you think about the woman in the female household, I think that's so important. So, you know, I just got through watching The 13th.
Okay.
Which was a powerful film for me. Yeah. And I said, geez, you know, our men are going through so much. And initially, I have a school as well called Pearl School of Modeling and Leadership. I opened it to men and women, but then I found myself gravitating towards the females because I could have more open and candid conversations with them. But when I watched The 13th, I said, how can we as women help with this? So I'm creating strong women through my medium of magazine, school, as well as other mediums as well.
Now, this is not something that is totally new to you. You actually started off as a model in Miami, working with the fabulous Ebony Fashion Fair for many years. So how did that experience help you start this publication?
That is a great question. So when I started out in Miami, I was first signed to a modeling agency called Ethnicity. And Ethnicity was focused, there was a big music video movement and different things like that. And for me, the music videos were cool, but I was very selective in the music videos that I wanted to do.
Okay.
And then fortunately, Ebony came about and they said, listen, we love your look. Why are you not modeling?
Right.
And I said, well, I've tried to approach the Fords, the Elites, and they either said, okay, we have enough of your look on our catalog or you're not thin enough.
Okay, wait, pause right there. They had enough of
my
your
look. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We can get back to that if
we
want.
We'll go back to that.
Yes.
Okay.
So I was discovered on the internet doing music by a photographer for Ebony Fashion Fair, and they flew me up, and Eunice Johnson hired me on the spot.
Okay.
And I flew up, auditioned for her, and she asked if I could start the next day.
Wow.
And I said, sure. So I jumped on a bus, and Ebony does about 180 cities a year, and I got a chance to travel to the United States, Canada, and the Caribbean. So fast forward, how has the Ebony experience helped me with the magazine,
Pro magazine
concept?
Right.
So I started the magazine actually for my students at Clark. So I had taken a sabbatical to start the school, and they said, Ms. Fizeme, Professor Fizeme, why are you leaving? So I said, okay, I'll start a magazine and talk about leadership and include fashion and beauty so that you all can still have my voice. Now, Ebony Magazine sold to a Texas firm last year. And when I read that, literally a tear started coming out of my eye, because Ebony was the first magazine to hire me as a full-time model. I didn't have to do anything but model. They gave me a salary. I was in couture gowns. I felt very regal. I didn't feel diminished or, you know, an object. So with this magazine, I want this magazine to be the next generation of an Ebony, where, you know, young Black girls can see positive images of themselves in fashion, beauty, and leadership.
Right. We're talking to a lady named Pearl about her new publication, Pearl. Now, this actually started off as a sort of an online publication, correct?
Correct.
But now it's an actual physical magazine. And you can still get the digital version of it as well, but you can get the digital or the hard copy, I should say.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So you can go to ladynamedpearl.com/magazine. And the first thing you're going to see is our spring edition. And you can click on the spring edition, and it gives you the option to download it, or you can have it mailed directly to your home.
Okay. Now, why Atlanta? Because, again, we mentioned that you were from Miami. And this is no shade to the Atlanta fashion community here, but there seems to be a lot more opportunities. And I think it has a lot to do with the weather, the scenery, that fashion flourishes a little bit more in Miami than here. Why did you decide to do that here?
Mm-hmm. So, yes, you are correct, Ray. The stronger fashion markets are Miami, New York, and L.A. And in addition to that, the Europeans that travel back and forth also make that Miami a strong fashion capital.
Okay.
Or fashion area. But I chose Atlanta for the reason that I initially came here, the barrier of entry to starting a company or, to starting a company and becoming an entrepreneur is low in Atlanta compared to Miami. So because I have the academy here, the Modeling and Leadership School, and I have a strong presence here, I felt that it would be ideal to start the magazine here. And because we're focusing on African descendants, and Atlanta has such a strong cultural background for that, I felt like it'd be good to start it here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to play the devil's advocate.
Yes.
There are so many publications out there. Mm-hmm. You have Essence. You have Ebony Still. Mm-hmm. Jet. You have Vibe. You have Vibe Vixen. You have, Sheen Magazine. That's a Atlanta-based magazine. Why Pearl? Why? What is the compelling thing that's going to make me want to grab this magazine?
Mm-hmm. You asking some really good questions, Ray. Well, I would say the same thing that attracts individuals to our academy. So when they call us and it's Pearl School of Modeling, they're like, okay, I want to teach my daughter how to walk the runway. Well, I'm like, well, okay, you're not only going to get the runway, you're going to get etiquette training, you're going to get leadership training, you're going to get public skills training, they're going to learn finance, they're going to learn technology. So the reason why we say Pearl, you should choose Pearl, is because we're building strong women. So I would say give us a shot and see if it works for you. But ultimately, I think we have a unique voice in terms of beauty, fashion, and leadership.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you get your stories? Are these writers, young ladies that come through the academy, or how do you get your writers?
So I actually scoured the internet as well as my friends for the individuals that are passionate about certain areas. So for our finance division, we have Claire Nund, and she's a finance expert. She's so passionate about it. So she writes every quarter. So our magazine releases quarterly.
Okay.
In terms of the food, the plant-based princess, tons of followers. She writes for the magazine. So I took the time to find people that are really passionate in particular areas, and they dedicate stories every quarter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this week, we had a very interesting scenario that took place with Pepsi Cola, and they had released an ad where you had this fashion model, was portraying this model who was in the middle of a photo shoot, and yet there was a protest going down the street, and she, I guess, felt compelled to stop what she was doing and to become a part of this movement and become involved with what was happening. She grabbed a can of Pepsi and handed it to the line of officers that was there to, I guess, keep the peace of the protest. And Twitter, Instagram, social media just went into an uproar over this commercial. Even Elder Bernice King, tweeted, hey, I didn't know that, that a Pepsi was all my dad had to, have to create peace in the world. Let me ask you, do you think, and this is just a random question, but do you think that the reaction would have been the same had it been an African-American model giving the officer the Coke? Because a lot of flack about the commercial was that they were sort of making light of a real situation that took place where a young African-American woman approached a line of officers to basically try to create peace. And so do you think that the reaction from social media would have been the same had it been an African-American model?
I don't think it would have been the same, but I think there would have been a reaction, because what I gathered from it was Pepsi was trying to use the activity and the popularity of a protest to help launch their new campaign. So for me, that was the angle that I had a problem with, in addition to the fact of, the social commentary, but the fact that they tried to use what was popular to help launch something, which is not a good choice, because people are protesting for real reasons.
Right.
And handing an officer a Pepsi, to me, just really disrespects the movement in a sense, or it takes away, you're not showing regard to people protesting in the movement. So it was more so them using that to help launch their new campaign or re-emerge Pepsi. So it was, my issue was them using the protest, period.
Right.
If it was a black woman, I think it still would be, you know, just a disrespect in terms of using Pepsi, you know. So, yeah.
Well, that is a lady named Pearl, and we're talking about her magazine that is titled Pearl. It is a quarterly magazine that focuses on fashion, beauty, health, food,
mm-hmm.
money, finances,
all
of those good things. And where can they get this publication?
They can get it at aladynamedpearl.com/magazine. And I also wanted to add that we're going to have a youth Pearl magazine coming out this summer. So this one is focused on women. Then the one that we're going to have rolling out is going to be focused on youth.
All right. Well, Pearl, thank you so much for stopping by, and super proud of you, and much success to the publication and to the school as well.
Thank you, Ray. I appreciate it.
No
much
problem.
Success. Continued success to you.
This is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
It's time to get lit. They're still on us. These guys are taking this personal.
You were only supposed to create a diversion, Roman.
That was complete destruction.
What you want from me?
I'm Roman Pierce, man.
It's what I do.
Phase two.
Phase two? What's phase two?
Bounds away.
You know what I like about you, Dom? You're a genuine outlaw. But you're a family.
The hell of a job, brother. When we get back to the base, beer's on me.
He's about to go up against the only thing they can't handle. You. Did you ever think you'd betray your family the way you did today?
Dominic Toretto just turned on us.
Well, well, well. Did you look at that?
I don't know why he's doing this, but that wasn't Dom.
She's the very definition of high-tech terrorism. And now, she's working with your guy.
I think I found my team.
This should be interesting.
You want to play like that?
This is impossible.
Which is why you're gonna need a little help.
I will beat you like a Cherokee drum.
We are about to go up like
that. Took longer than I expected. If you're gonna catch Dom, you guys are gonna work together.
Surprise.
I just fell in love.
I've been waiting for this.
We got a tank.
Let's roll.
Here they come.
I don't know if the old Dom is in there. I'm taking you down. Toretto,
let's play.
Why are they shooting at me?
I don't know. Maybe because you're in an orange Lamborghini.
Shut up, Tess.
Switch it up, like. Switch it up, speaker box, blast, 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 blast. Speaker box, blast, go, rat-a-tat-tat. We about to go up like.
We're gonna need a bigger truck.
Dom! You're gonna turn your back on family?
You You just heard the official trailer for the highly anticipated Fate of the Furious that stars Vin Diesel, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Charlize Theron, and my next guest, Christopher Ludacris Bridges. I recently talked to the hip-hop star turned actor at the Atlanta red carpet premiere of the film that took place at the SCAD show. The advanced screening was also attended by Luda's co-star, Tyrese, as well as Being Mary Jane star, Gabrielle Union. Here's what Ludacris had to say about why the franchise gets so much love.
Congratulations on the Fate of the Furious. What do you think is the enduring legacy of this franchise? Because it keeps, you guys keep coming out with film after film and the fans keep loving it. So what is the legacy? Do you think?
I think that we hit a bunch of like really, really great spots at the beginning of this franchise, which I wasn't a part of for the very first one. But when you recognize a car culture that is worldwide, and it's just like, I don't even think the studio thought that it was going to be as big as it was. And so as they continue to build, it's really just about the teamwork from the always starting from the studio to the writers to the producers to finding the right directors, and then of course, you know, Vin Diesel and everybody that was a part of it from the beginning. And I just think we continue to make it to outdo ourselves each and every time. And I mean, honestly, they surprise even me. So I'm just a piece of the puzzle.
Favorite scene from the film?
Favorite scene from this film is going to be the Iceland scene. So that's like an action scene where you're going to get a submarine, you're going to get us driving on ice and all type of stuff. So I don't want to give too much of it away, but when you see it, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Gabrielle Union looked amazing on the red carpet and was actually wearing a spring look from New York & Company. She is the new face of the trendy fashion line and was all smiles as she talked about filming the upcoming season of Being Mary Jane and her new film, The Project, which addresses homelessness.
So let's talk about this last season. And what can we look forward to this summer, because the show is coming back this summer. So what can
yes.
the fans look forward to?
Some resolution with her love life, the little love triangle that we left you with. Does she go with the dashing Nigerian Brit, or does she go with old blue eyes Michael Ealy? You will find out this summer.
Now, you've played a bigger role
Eddie
in the
Mack.
Last couple of years now as an executive producer of the show. So how's that been for you?
You know what? A lot of people are like, it's going to stress you out, but I love it. I thrive in the pressure cooker. So I love it. I love putting out fires. I love making life easier for my fellow actors and the crew and finding new talent. So it's been amazing for me.
Now, so many of your friends are in tonight's film.
Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to seeing?
Just them do their thing, which is you know, makes you proud as a friend. You want the best for your friends. You want them to shine. So I'm just here like every other fan. Like,
all right, what other projects do you have coming up? Because I think you have two other films that you're working on.
I forgot about that project. I just wrapped The Public, which is a movie that was directed by Emilio Estevez. That's got Christian Slater, Alec Baldwin, Rhyme Fest, Michael K. Williams. Amazing movie where homeless people take over the library, which I love the film. So I forgot about that. How did I forget about that? And then I have another film that we'll be filming this summer that I'm not able to talk about just yet. But there's a lot to announce coming out. But yeah, the NY & Co., the Flawless Hairline, the Invicta Watches, Vanilla Pudding Wine. Just trying to hustle. Just trying to hustle.
Congrats again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Look for pictures from the red carpet premiere at WCLK.com and catch The Fate of the Furious in theaters on Friday, April 14th.
I know somebody who cares. He's got it made. He won't admit it, but it's just a masquerade. He's a modern day deceiver with a case of altered fever. But shame, it's a game. And then there's divorces. She gets the word, next thing you know, it's in the street. By the time it's been repeated, all the truth has been deleted. Oh, what a shame. Love her again. Seems like everything we hear is just a tale. But I've got something that would never
Hey, Hey Upfront listeners, this is Ray Cornelius urging you to click on the donate button on WCLK.com and make your pledge of support for this show and the countless others you listen to throughout the week. Your contribution will help keep shows like this on the air. That's WCLK.com, where membership matters.
Hi, Cassie Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray!
The weatherman needs to go to jail. Weatherman has the only job in the world where he's never right, and they say, all right, come on back in tomorrow. Weatherman always telling you what it's almost going to be. Mostly. Chances are. You go to school, a teacher asks you how much is 3 plus 4. You can't go nearly 7 with a 20% chance of being 8 and maybe 9 in the low-lying areas. Next time I see my weatherman, go, hey, this gun is partly loaded. Now, is it going to rain or not?
You just heard comedy legend George Wallace during one of his many stand-up routines. The hilariously funny entertainer and actor is appearing in a new comedy titled Grow House, which opens nationwide in theaters on April 20th. It stars comedic actors D. Ray Davis and Lil Duval as Pat and Darius, an unlikely pair who tries to help the medical marijuana movement by growing their own cannabis and selling their crops to the dispensaries. There's only one problem. Knowing how to smoke marijuana doesn't mean you know how to grow it. George Wallace stars as Mark White and talked about the film and his character. He also opens up about rebranding his career, his fondest memories of Atlanta, and much more. Well, good morning, Dr. Wallace, and welcome to Upfront. How are you today?
This is Dr. George Wallace. I feel good all over, and I'm talking to 91.9 WCLK in my hometown, Atlanta.
Yeah.
The ATL. Do they call it the ATL now or the ATL?
It's still the ATL.
All right. And always will be as long as that airport is out there.
Right. Well, we're going to be talking to you about an amazing new film that you are starring in titled Grow House, which stars D. Ray Davis and Lil Duval, Snoop Dogg and Martin Starr, Faison Love. How did you get a part of how did you become a part of this project, I should say?
The writer, DJ Pooh, I did the movie The Wash with him, and he just thought I'd fit right in. So sometimes they just call you up, can you do me a favor, can you do this?
Right.
And that's how I got the part. I said, of course I'll do that, you know. I did The Wash, and that was maybe 15 years ago, and they still play it every day. And it keeps me up to date because I walk through the mall, and all the kids are going, hey, Mr. Wash, Mr. Wash. And that's where my career is right now. I'm reinventing the brand George Wallace. So I'm doing all kinds of movies and TV shows. And this movie, The Grow House, was exceptionally funny. I don't think I even got a script. I just got called, can you come over and do it? I said, yes, I'll come over and do it. And, you know, anything with Snoop in it is going to get some attention.
Yeah.
And D-Ray and Little Duval and Faison Love, they're all funny. So what are you going to do?
Now, what was it like working with? Because I sort of consider them the next generation of comedic actors. So how was it working with those guys?
They're stupid. Both of them. The scene I did with Lil Duval and D-Ray Davis, it was so funny. And, you know, there's not small roles, they're just small actors. And it's a small role, but it's very powerful, and it's very funny to work with those two young guys. And we would work and react off each other, action and reaction. And they were just, I got angry at them, and I started shaking. And out of nowhere, Lil Duval says to me, will you stop shaking? You're making me nervous. And we just, you know, I think we had to break. We had to break the scene because we all started laughing. But
wow.
To work with these young, funny guys, you're right, the next generation. And yeah. I'm out there working with them now. You know, I was in Vegas for 10 years, but now I'm out in the clubs and I'm starting over. And I do concert halls. I still do casinos, but I love competing with the young guys on the stage, like at the Atlanta Comedy Theater out on Jimmy Carter Boulevard. I'm going to be there Mother's Day weekend.
Oh, wow.
Competing and working with all the young comedians out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think Atlanta is probably the biggest city in America with African-American youth, young comedians coming up. And, well, hell, it's the second largest city for movie making now. So that's a great, that's a big plus. So, yeah, working with these young comedians is just fantastic.
Now, let me ask you, Dr. Wallace, are you more comfortable in front of the camera or doing stand-up?
It's always stand-up. Stand-up is number one. Stand-up is my first love. I love what I do. I have a passion. I honor my essence. I get out there and I show people what I do. That's my number one passion. It's better than sex. It's better than drugs. There's nothing better than doing comedy. I hope I explained that to you right. I don't, after you get a high, you got thousands of people out there laughing with you, and I don't even know these people. that's a high right there. When you walk up that stage, it takes an hour to come down. Just chill out.
Yeah.
It's just the greatest thing in the world. I like in front of the camera, but trust me, that live performance, that personal appearance is the best. Just great.
Wow. Now, you mentioned Atlanta being a mecca now for urban entertainment, whether it's film or television or music. Did you always think that Atlanta would be that city, considering that you're from here? Did you think that Atlanta would become sort of the capital or the southern capital of entertainment?
When I left Atlanta in 1965, they only had one theater, so hell no, I didn't think. listen to me. I'm born and raised in Atlanta, right? Let me just give you some a little update on who I am. I went to the Fox Theater when I was a kid, okay? And they had discrimination policies back then. Black people had to walk outside the Fox Theater up six floors of flight on the outside to the balcony where the blacks could watch the movie. Can you believe that?
Wow.
That was bad. But I told them last time I was playing the Fox, I said, this is really great. And I told them a story that the black people used to have to sit up in the balcony. But it wasn't all that bad because we used to throw popcorn and peanuts down on the white people and Mountain Dew too. Well, it's the same color as Mountain Dew, yeah. If I can say it like that, you know.
Wow.
And they couldn't come up there because that was a black section.
Wow.
So, yeah, but Atlanta has grown tremendously. So look at the studios there. I think the world's second largest studio is being built there, finishing up right now. And I'm just happy for my city, Atlanta. Atlanta just has everything, especially for African Americans. I even do a joke in my show now because I talk about international travels and I talk about people that have a desire to go to Africa and how many of you would like to go to Africa but you don't think you could ever afford it. I tell them in the audience, here's what I want you to do. If you can't make it to Africa, call Delta Airlines and they will take you to Atlanta, and I swear you won't know the difference. There's so many black Africans get off the plane in Atlanta and they go, well, oh, I returned already. What? Nobody's never seen that many black people. The great thing about Atlanta and the black people, they're doing it all, running the airport, running everything. Atlanta's the only city in the world where I don't care what the community is, there's some African Americans living in that community.
Right. Wow.
So it's a great city. Whatever's going on there, just great. Only bad thing in Atlanta is Lenox Square at Christmas time when they put that little small-ass Christmas tree on top of the building. They used to have a live tree. Now they got an artificial tree. And the tree, the one in my house is the same size, on top of the mall, on top of Macy's. Makes me mad. They could use the old tree left from Rockefeller Center in New York. They could use the last year's tree and put that on top of Macy's.
Right. So I get
mad quite frequently in Atlanta. So I talk about things, you know. I tell all the people, if you're going to go to Atlanta now, if you're going to Atlanta and you get in a taxi, make sure you don't get Buckhead mixed up with Bankhead. It's a whole different story, okay?
Yes, it is. Let me ask you, since we're talking about Atlanta, what is another one of your fondest memories of Atlanta?
Are you kidding? Oh, you know, the greatest thing ever happened to me in Atlanta? I should send you a photo of this. When I was a kid in college in 1968, I actually went to Dr. Martin Luther King's funeral.
Mm.
Someone showed me a photo of the funeral. I said, I was at that funeral, but I couldn't get down front of all of these people, all of these celebrities.
Right.
But they had a photo that shot out from the church out into the public. I said, I was not on a telephone pole. I was standing next to a pole, on a little white pole next to the telephone pole, and I was watching the funeral. And sure enough, we blew the photo up, and there I am on the little pole. I couldn't even believe it.
Wow.
So that's my greatest moment in Atlanta, you know, coming from Atlanta at that time, being at Dr. Martin Luther King's funeral. Everybody was in the photo, and that was me standing way in the back.
Yeah.
You had Eartha Kitt in the photo, and Sammy Davis Jr., Marlon Brando, just so many celebrities, Nancy Wilson. Just amazing.
Yeah.
So that's the greatest moment ever happened to me in Atlanta. But I live in Atlanta. It's just so many great things in the city. Just so many jokes about the city. I mean, we got a brand new, nothing is old in Atlanta. That's one thing I don't particularly like. Anything over 20 years old, they say, tear it down. You know?
Right.
The Georgia Dome, they're sitting there right now. Is that stadium? Most people would say, oh my God, that's a beautiful building. Got to go. Atlanta Stadium, where the Braves played, the Atlantic Turner Field, 20 years old. Got to go.
Yeah. Wow.
These are brand new places, you know, and the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that's going to be beautiful. Of course, me, I'm stupid. I want to call it the Chick-fil-A Stadium because they're both going to be closed on Sunday. I'm just kidding.
So, Dr. Wallace, I have to ask
I hope the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons want to go back to the Super Bowl, but it is very hard to do. I hope they can go back, but it's very hard to do.
Yeah.
They got a good team, and I know I'm still. I'm still just. Well, I'm better now than I was. I used to teach everybody. It's just a game. Leave it alone. It's just a game. But this was my team this time, so I was so down and out and so hurt in the last 2 minutes. But I told my friend, I was talking to her at halftime. I said, we still need two more touchdowns to win this game. I just don't trust it.
Yeah.
Sure enough. But that's not what you call me about. You call me about this great film that's coming out.
We have this great film.
The Grow House.
Yeah.
The Grow House. And then you can tell right off the bat, the Grow House, we're growing something. Naturally, Snoop Dogg is into the weed, and these kids want to make money. So they're growing weed. And as soon as they can get their money off the ground, get their product to grow off the ground, the money to grow, their seeds off the ground, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm a banker, and they're trying to borrow money from me. And my name is Mr. White. My name might be White, but I'm still black, and I can tell you a little game you're trying to run on me. That's what I say to the young Duval and D-Ray Davis.
Yeah.
But it's a nice film, and you know it's got to be funny. Young kid, like I say, I haven't read the whole script because they didn't give me a script. They just let me do what I want to do.
Dr. Wallace, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to talk about Grow House. We look forward to the film, which is coming out on April 20th. And we'll definitely look forward to your show that will be here in Atlanta on Mother's Day weekend. And thank you so much for taking
time. Bring your ugly mama and all the people that live in Griffin and Adamsville. Bring your ugly mama. We have a hitching post so y'all can, your mules and buggies and wagons.
To hear the unedited version of my entire interview with Dr. George Wallace, log on to WCLK.com. The laughs continue as he gives his thoughts on social media and much more. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank my guests, A Lady Named Pearl, Christopher Ludacris Bridges, Gabrielle Union, and Dr. George Wallace. I'd also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, April 15th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront. You can also keep up with me during the week at raycornelius.com and on Facebook and Instagram under Ray Cornelius. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's jazz station, 91.9 FM WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.